General Kenobi.
Hello there.
Hello there, and welcome to Hello There, a Star Wars podcast. I'm just going to say this is episode one because it's been so long since we've recorded an episode that I'm assuming any of our possible old subscribers probably aren't subscribed anymore. So let's just call it a do-over. Something that we may or may not think is happening with Star Wars as it is right now anyways. But
I'm not going to call it that.
I am Anthony Palm. Joining me, my regular co-host is Nate Hicks.
What's going on? May the Force be with you.
And may the Force be with you as well. And joining us today is our good friend Jeff Mizrahi.
This is the way. Boom, I knew it.
This is certainly the way. It is. We are recording the night of the finale of Mandalorian Season 2, and there has been a lot to talk about this season. So Nate and I decided we want to bring the podcast back, start it up again. I guess this is really just going to be Mandalorian focused. The Disney shareholder thing was last week. They announced 9 other shows. We're going to talk about that next week because I want to dedicate a whole episode to that. I don't kind of want to just like gloss over it.
Yeah, skip through it.
So we're just going to talk about Mandalorian this week. Full spoilers. This is your warning. If you haven't watched it, we are going to completely spoil everything about this. The whole season, really, but especially the finale. So let's just dig right into it. Jeff, you actually watched it before either of us. I woke up at like 7:30 and threw it on. I think you woke up earlier than me. So
yeah, what was your initial reaction? The game plan was the second my eyes open, you know, like when you wake up a little early and you're like laying in bed still, like, now I knew once my eyes open, I had to turn on Mando. Wild, yo. From just the beginning, like, I don't know if we're going over everything, but I guess, you know, spoilers, yeah, also if you're listening to this. I gotta say the biggest oh shit moment, the biggest like edge of my bed, I was watching it from my bed, moment was definitely Luke showing up. You know, you kind of know it when you see the X-Wing, but it's like you don't believe it until you even know it also when you see him in the rope. You're like, all right, this is obviously Luke. But like once he like pulls up the lightsaber, it's like, oh my god, that's like the when did it hit you guys? Hit for you guys?
When, okay, so like I said, I woke up at 7:30 this morning and I put it on. I watched it in the living room on the nice big, nice, you know, 4K 65-inch TV. So you know, I got my blanket like a Jedi robe. I got Loki, my cat, next to me, and I'm watching it. And I see the X-Wing, and I'm just like, there's no way. I'm just like, there's no way. There's no way. And then you see the robe, and I'm like, oh my god. And then you see the lightsaber, and I'm like, oh no way. And then obviously when he starts hacking down the dark troopers, which, I mean, we got a lot of dark troopers and we got a lot of slain dark troopers, so that's crazy. But yeah, I mean,
phase three,
whoever, and you sent it to me earlier, I don't remember who it was, Nate, but whoever the actor was that played Luke, like the physical version, obviously the face we'll talk about in a minute, really got the feel of Luke Skywalker and the way he wielded the lightsaber in the original trilogy. I thought that it like you could tell it was Luke by the way he was fighting, and I thought that was great. So I really loved it, and when they showed his face, that was the second where I just like lost it. Like I didn't cry, but I was close to it. So Nate, you watched it a little bit later. You watched it earlier than you usually watch The Mandalorian, though, because usually you don't watch it until like late at night,
like right, so, now, yeah, like, yeah, right, so now when we record.
So you did watch it earlier. How was your experience with this episode?
So I kind of did something similar. I rolled out of bed. It almost felt like Christmas morning. It was like, oh man, I've got this to go forward to.
I was so
excited. I just got this like American flag like onesie, and so I just threw that on. And I'm watching it now. I'm gonna rewatch the episode because I was watching on my Apple TV with my AirPods in, so it didn't sound bad. It was actually enjoyable, but it's like I kind of want to hear it on the loud TV. But as far as like the Luke moment, I'll be honest, when the X-wing came in and they're like, "Oh, it's one lone X-wing," I was like, "Oh, interesting." Really, like, thought didn't cross my mind. And then when they show the like the CCTV and it's the black robe, and I'm like, "Okay," I said, "I saw a glove." I was like, "Hmm." And the moment I saw the hilt, I was like, "Okay, that's." And then honestly, it was actually the moment when he turned around and he had like the belt buckle, and like he saw. I was like, "Okay, that's buckle, Luke. Yeah. It's 100% Luke.
It's Return of the Jedi." On it.
Yes, Return of the Jedi. But what
it just came straight, you know?
Yeah, and the reveal with his face, I'll be honest, when it happened, there is that instant, and I guess it's because what we're conditioned to is the instant, like, and that's kind of how I felt with, it's CGI. But as the scene went on, and the way it played out, I was just like, oh my God. But what I loved about that moment in particular is how cool is it that they gave Luke a Vader Rogue One moment. Like that's the most.
I saw someone on Facebook put them like on top of each other, like those two scenes, and they play off each other, and it's awesome how like similar the scenes are between you know Vader slaughtering the rebels in the hallway, and
I mean, and similar in a lot of ways, like a character from an older movie that we never actually saw be totally badass, like coming back in a modern thing and actually being badass,
and like we've seen Luke be badass before, sure, but not. We've
not
never
to
seen
this extent,
Master Jedi Luke. We saw Jedi Knight Luke. This is Jedi Master Luke.
Yeah, how many like NPCs did he even kill in the original trilogy?
It was in the original trilogy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
sail barge. There was a bunch.
A handful.
I feel like he really didn't even kill that many people on Endor. I feel like he just gave himself up right away on Endor, right?
Yeah.
So it was a couple guys on Cloud City, not even really. Yeah,
he didn't fight anyone in the first movie, you know.
This
is the first time we get to see Luke, the badass wield, you know, like the swordsman. Mm. Like we, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I would say that is a negative going to the Dark Troopers, because like I don't think about the Dark Troopers in that moment, which obviously they want you to think about Luke, but it's like they showed us for the first part of the episode how fucking hard it was to kill these Dark Troopers.
How hard for a Mandalorian. I think that's
the point. A Jedi Master is so much above these badass Super Commando Mandalorians. That's how much more powerful they are.
Yeah.
That's what I took from it.
Okay. I look at it in that light. It's different. But I just was thinking about, wow, okay, he's going through them so easily.
You got to remember, in the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy, we see Jedis taking out droids left and right because they're all Jedis. And we kind of became desensitized to like how powerful Jedis were because we just see them slicing and dicing these droids left and right.
Yeah.
And I think the Mandalorian, the series just as a whole, does a good job of kind of like bringing us back to like a human level of danger, you know, like even in the flashback in season one of when the B2 super battle droid was about to kill Din as a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's like that moment felt so much scarier than any of the super battle droids felt.
Anakin could slice him 100 in a minute. Yeah.
So I think that this series as a whole just did a really good job of making everything seem more dangerous. That being said, I thought it was a little goofy when the Dark Troopers are just like punching the door.
It was
so goofy, Luke. I liked it, but
however, talking about the Dark Troopers, what really stood out, because on my second watch, I was also playing a little Destiny, but like, you know, watching as well. But the audio, the music for the Dark Troopers, whenever
they revealed
on screen,
the Dark Troopers, it's like when this they weird, revealed like, Skrillex music, right?
Like, yeah, it's like this. Horror, electro, techno, like it's very, very scary, honestly.
And I know the Dark Troopers are from Shadows of the Empire, the N64 game. I never played it, so I don't know if that's an audio callback. I mean, Skrillex didn't exist.
Oh, no, this sounds fucking.
It sounds.
Like, who's the guy? Ludwig Van Gorsen? Is that the show?
Ludwig
Gorsen or something.
I know his name. And I'm like,
oh, also, since we're kind of in that fact checking section, the actor who played Luke is Max Lloyd-Jones. Okay. That's his name.
Is he a stunt actor? Is he like a...
Yeah, I was looking at him also. Looks like he's just a regular dude. He was in Sandlot 2 in 2005.
So he's probably like a stunt actor.
Yeah, he's a double. He's a huge role. But yeah, so the audio for the Dark Troopers are amazing. They're just scary when they're opening the door. And I like how like Mando like knew that they were going to be legit. He's like, oh shit, no, got to get the door closed. Like,
yeah,
I guess, you know, they stole baby, the child. So
yeah. How hard was that for you to not say Baby Yoda? Let's be honest.
I can't.
Yeah. It makes it easier if you say Baby Grogu, like Baby Grogu. It's kind of,
I've been saying Grogu a lot more. Yeah. You know,
me too.
How
classic.
I think we can safely say, and looking back on the last episode where, you know, Din does take his helmet off to read the scanner. Like I looking back on, okay, that's why they did that to lead into that moment. But how the entire scene basically Luke coming up to the door and following was phenomenal. Like the what I really enjoyed about Grogu in particular is when the X-Wing comes into the hangar, he's touching the screen. Immediately you're like, okay, that's the Jedi. And I'm
right.
And it's the small mannerisms, but the moment he takes off his helmet and they have that moment, it's like, I was speechless. Honestly, it reminded me of like seeing Revenge of the Sith in theaters. Like, it's like, I'm witnessing this moment in Star Wars. I guess it just goes to the storytelling. It's honestly hard for me to put into words in some cases.
Do you guys? So we're gonna see the Mandalorian and Grogu,
100%
tonight, right? Like, there's no 100%. Because everyone online is freaking out. Oh my god, Kylo Ren kills Grogu. People are just jump into that assumption. And I think that it was very intentional when Luke is like, but he'll never be safe until he learns to control his abilities or whatever.
Yeah.
And he promises him he's gonna see him again. So. I think that's very intentional. We might not see them reunite for a while. Probably not for maybe a season, maybe a year and a half. We don't know what the schedule looks like with all these Disney Plus shows. There's so many of them, so we don't know. But I don't think there's any reality where Grogu just ends up randomly dying to Kylo Ren and we never see it on screen. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be more to it.
What if we get a time jump and Jin is the same age as Boba now? So he's more, you know, like 20 years, maybe 30 years, maybe. Let's say this is the preteen age when the Yoda race fucking becomes more human and he's like a slightly older Grogu. I don't know if people would want that. Like,
I wouldn't say 20 years. I would say like 5, maybe 10 at the most, but more than likely 5. They could easily do a time jump.
With all these shows going on right now, I think they are firmly buckled into this time period right now.
Okay.
I think the next season of The Mandalorian, which we'll get into the Book of Boba Fett in a minute, I think that we're going to get into reclaiming Mandalore. We're going to have to deal with whatever happens between Bo-Katan and Din. I think once that's resolved, that's when we'll get Grogu
back with
I was okay.
I think
yeah,
they want that's like that first.
That's a great point. Yeah, like,
because I don't think Moff Gideon's done either, because he's still alive. So,
I mean,
that's going to go into the Lone Ranger show. What's it called?
The first
Rangers of the New Republic.
Rangers of the New Republic.
I guarantee
you think
it.
The Rangers of the New Republic. That's going to start telling the story of the origins of the First Order. You know, because we already.
Think so. I feel like
it's pretty confirmed that it's
not
either,
so much.
If it's not the clone of Palpatine, it's.
Snoke.
I think it is Palpatine because they explicitly said cloning. They didn't say engineering. They said cloning.
And they said cloning twice, yeah.
So I think it's Palpatine first, and then Palpatine comes back, and then he creates Snoke because he even literally says, I created Snoke. So,
yeah.
Back to what you're saying.
I can easily see the show being the one that kind of builds up to the First Order stuff.
Yeah. But also from Mandalorian season 3, I could easily see it being a. Focus on Mandalore, like how you said, and that would be a great reason to not even think about Jedi. Like, hey, we're called the Mandalorian. This is called the Mandalorian Jedi. Grogu, Luke, they're not coming back for a season or two. We're just doing Mandalore shit. Bo-Katan's the main character. Sasha Banks is more main.
Still staying the main character, and it's him trying to deal with whatever's going on with Bo-Katan because Bo-Katan can't, quote-unquote, take the Darksaber from him. So...
Yeah, it's 100% going to have to be about that. It's called The Mandalorian. Yeah, I think it's going to be.
Like, Din's still going to be the main character.
Yeah,
it's just and they might put a hold on it for a little while.
And talk about
Grogu, you're saying. Hold on, Grogu.
Yeah.
Talk about the switch with Moff Gideon. When that battle concluded, I was like, wow, okay, man. You know, Giancarlo kind of went out like a bitch. I mean, it was a good fight, but it's like, you kind of have this prowess about your character, like the characters you play, like there's more to you.
Oh, well, I mean, he was.
Yeah.
He was banging against the sword fight itself.
I thought it was really good.
The sword fight was good. But I was like, man.
Are you saying when they're on the bridge?
Right. I was like, man, he got defeated in one scene. That's not like the characters he plays. And then when that happens, I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. Like that's, he did that intentionally to sow seeds in between them. Cause it's like now
she even said, you're sparing my life. This is going to get interesting.
Yeah.
Did you guys, I assume you also watch Rebels?
Yes.
Did you guys see that coming or no?
See what coming?
Once he beats Moff Gideon, have it, and then it's gonna fuck over Bo. Oh, you guys were thinking about that? All right, cool.
That's why I was like building up to this like throughout the season. I was like, how could it be Din that fights Moff Gideon?
Okay, so it was a total.
Then he's the one with the darksaber. Like I was thinking that the whole season. Like once
what's
they
the deal
at
with
least
that?
Once they showed Bo-Katan, I was like,
does it actually not function?
No, it's or, just
no,
a,
no,
it's just
a symbol.
It's a like a symbolic thing.
Okay, yeah, so hey, maybe that's what's going to come next, where Din is going to have to shed his religious symbolism of the mass thing, and she's going to have to shed her religious symbolism of I have to beat you in combat to have your saber. Because if it's going to functionally work, why can't that be eliminated from the? You know, he's giving it to you.
Well, these people are the Mandalorian people are so proud. So they're on that bridge themselves. And she has that thought where she goes, I could, but she's not going to do it. Like she's not going to give up her tradition.
When he says you should just kill him now and take it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when he was offering it, she was like, I can't take that. Like you're offering it to me. He's like, I yield. She's like, I can't take it. And so I think that it's definitely going to get interesting because they still have to bring Sabine somewhere in here.
I think Sabine's going to be in the Ahsoka show. I don't think we see Sabine in
the witch show?
The Ahsoka show.
Ooh.
Because I think that, and we're at risk of getting all over the place, but I think that Dave Filoni kind of, he was like, I don't know. But he kind of admitted it, that the finale, the very last second, like with Ahsoka the White, when she goes and gets Sabine to go find Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like 99% sure that takes place after the Mandalorian, like episode The Jedi. So,
yeah, I think it would because
Sabine might pop up at some point, but I think that Sabine is kind of good with the Mandalorians. Like she did her part getting Bo-Katan the Darksaber in the first place. You know what I mean? So I think she was more being the protector of Lothal because of Ezra. So I think that I don't think Sabine shows up in the show The Mandalorian for probably a while, if at all.
Back to the Mandalorian. Thoughts on the first? Okay, this episode started off so well, but when they land the Slave One at the whatever bar the Bo-Katan and Sasha Banks are at, and you see the fucking Slave One right next to whatever ship they have,
the Gauntlet.
Like, what's that weird? Like, what's it called? I feel like it has a cool name. I don't know the name, but I've seen it in.
I mean, I don't know if it's the Gauntlet, but it is a Gauntlet class.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, love that ship. I thought I was like, oh, and
Did you notice it looked like a YT class freighter? Also, I don't think it wasn't. I don't think it was the Millennium Falcon, but it looked similar. It might have been similar to like the Ghost.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, it was like the first ship you see, and it's like really hard to see it.
When they land and it kind of showing the landscape a little bit, I'm like, this isn't Lothal. Like this isn't going to be Lothal because I had that thought for a second because the landscape so I was like, no. And then when that happened, I mean, they didn't really explain where they were at, but yeah, I agree with you. The scene started out phenomenal. Like it's like everything they're doing with Boba Fett is working so well.
So well.
That it doesn't feel like I can't even fathom that it could be fan service. Like,
yeah. Now,
I mean, I have my thoughts about his, episode 6, you know, but after I realized who directed that, I was like, okay, never mind. I give it a little bit of leeway. Just because, what's up?
Shout outs to Peyton Reed directing this episode. Ant-Man 1 and 2. Interesting.
I mean, it's got that caliber of, like cinematography. Like I could see that because like Robert Rodriguez doing, you know, episode 7, it's like it kind of felt a little bit, not going to say YouTube-y, but like going from the Ahsoka episode, it's like, wow, it's kind of a night and day difference. But
it was more pulpy, I feel like, the Robert.
Yeah, yeah. That's a better way to put it.
Whereas,
but
yeah, whereas the Ahsoka episode, and what was the episode that Bryce Dallas Howard directed?
Oh,
was it the Harris? The first episode of Bo-Katan?
Yes, that's correct. That's episode 3.
Yeah, like, that one had a similar vibe too. Of
3, like that's crazy.
Yeah, like you're right. Thinking about it, episode 7 does kind of stand out a little more. I think it also has to do with the fact that it was like out in the open and it was on a real set location.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the volume like everything else.
Oh,
is
that true? Oh, I didn't know that. So, that's cool.
Yeah, no, there was actually a TikTok video that came out in March. Someone posted of hiking in Hollywood Hills and saw just a bunch of stormtroopers just kind of going around, and they reshared that after that episode. And I'm like, oh, wow, that is interesting. But yeah, no, for me, it was going from Ahsoka's episode because like just the way that shot and like all the Kurosawa references, and it's like cinema that I'm watching. Whereas you go to the next and it's but yeah, Boba Fett. That got me at the very end. I guess let's go ahead and like bring that up. Book of Boba Fett.
What? Okay. Oh, well, I have so many questions.
Go.
Where does Boba Fett align? He just came out of the like I want to call it the mall, Sarlacc pit. Mm-hmm. Isn't the first thing on his mind that he hates Jedi? He hates Jedi, and that he's like trying to like make money. Why would he? Why would he go to Jabba's palace and like take the throne? Like, what's his like? You know,
so he wants to take over the Empire. The Hutt.
Here's my take on
why
it.
Why does he not like the Empire? The Empire didn't kill him.
No, the Hutt Empire, like the Hutts, like the syndicate that Jabba ran.
But why even? The Hutts never did him wrong. The Hutts always gave him like used him as a bounty hunter.
He just so, knows Jabba's gone. So why am I gonna let this punk Bid Fortuna take it?
So this is what I would say. If we're thinking back to his characteristics, even from Clone Wars, Boba as a character, yeah, we'll start from Clone Wars and go up. Boba as a character has always been someone who, at the end of the day, he is determined to get what he wants, and he doesn't align with anything in particular, but his ideas or things like that can change, because the episodes that he's featured in, you can quickly see him going from a reckless child, basically, in a lot of ways, a dangerous child, to someone who is cunning and thieving, but at the same time, like, not heartless. Like, he knows what the right thing is. And I see that, and I think they're personifying that in his character now, where he's like, hey, I'm not a good guy, but like, I know right and wrong and I follow my word, kind of thing. But I agree with Anthony. I think it's he's alive, he's back, he's badass. Why not?
Yeah, you know? I think you can kind of tell, and the music cue that played when Boba sat on the throne too, I think was telling that he's not a good guy. Like you said, he's not evil because he let that Twi'lek go, that Fennec Shan freed.
Yeah.
But he's also not a good guy. So I think he's probably just going to become a crime lord. You know what I mean? Or at least run something going on with Jabba's palace. I think that Jabba is just going to, he's going to put down some roots in Tatooine. And I think that's going to be what that show's about. Because he clearly doesn't care about Mandalore at all. Like, he just doesn't care about it at all. He cared about the armor because it was his father's. I don't think he cared about the armor because it was Mandalorian armor.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But that's what got me at the very end. Because I'm still kind of in shock with the whole Luke scene and, like, you know, thinking about what does that mean? And then it ends. When the elevator closes, I'm like, okay, that sucks. I have to wait till Christmas. And so when it got to the after credits, I was like, okay, good. I just wasn't expecting that. And the fact that it was a stealth announcement too, I think makes that like even cooler. Like, that wasn't even on the docket.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling when they didn't show it, because I know one of the other Star Wars podcasts I listened to, they were like adamant that they knew someone that was working on pre-production for the Boba Fett show. Like, they were adamant, even after the investor thing, that he swore there was going to be something. So I kind of was like, all right, well, maybe they just didn't want to say it before the finale, and maybe after the finale they'll say it. So I didn't think it was going to be in the episode the way it was. I thought maybe like tomorrow they'd be like, and surprise, Boba Fett. But so that was cool. I did want to point out real quick the beginning of the episode that I love that Bo-Katan immediately points out that Boba Fett is a pretender, that he's a clone.
Amazing.
The
oh
fact
my
that
God.
She recognized his voice, and it's like it throws you and back on the to second the watch, Mandalore in season 7. I mean, even seasons 2, yeah, whatever that whole arc was, the Mandalore plot, and then the Death Watch Maul arc, and what was it?
Yeah, yeah. She's heard before. Clones before.
Like, it just throws
her
you back
acting
to that.
Also. Did you like on your rewatch? Did you see her face? She's like, wait, what? You're not
like,
a clone.
Yeah, like,
you're
like not she a got angry. Yeah, she's like, yeah. And so I think that kind of ties into a little bit with how Almec in Clone Wars, when I think it had to be Obi-Wan, right? I think Obi-Wan's the only one that actually went to Mandalore. Yeah. Obi-Wan is like, I've only met one Mandalorian before, Jango Fett. And he's like, he's not a Mandalorian. That we don't know how he got his armor. And so I think that plays into it, that Boba and Jango, it's not that they're not Mandalorians in nature. It's that they're literally like, they weren't from Mandalore.
Well,
so I think
Boba
there's a difference between
technically a clone.
Right. But what I'm saying is that I think that
that's creative. That's wild.
The way that Boba is a Mandalorian is similar to Din, where they're foundlings, quote unquote, or at least Jango was a foundling. Whereas I think
son of a foundling. Yeah.
Whereas I think that with Bo-Katan and Prime Minister Almec and those Mandalorians, those are like Mandalorian purists. They're like, if you're not from Mandalore, or you're not from Crow Nest, or you're not from Concord Dawn, which I think Jango was from Concord Dawn though, but or maybe they're just purists. If you have
Jango
to be
was.
From Mandalore,
yeah,
and you're not one of us, you know what I mean? Whereas the Death Watch, or the Children of the Watch is what they're called. It was never confirmed that it was Death Watch, even though there was a Clan Vizsla
emblem
on the guy that found him. That seems more of like you're a Mandalorian by adoption, whereas Bo-Katan's like you're a Mandalorian by birth. So I think that's kind of where that goes. But I really love the fact that she immediately pointed that out. And also Sasha Banks did a tornado DDT and Boba Fett did not think I would ever see that in my lifetime.
Yeah, that was definitely a way to start the episode. And then I don't know why, I just found it super amusing that they both were shooting each other with like flamethrowers, and
it was like them doing Kamehameha.
It was weird. It was like it was defeating each other.
Flamethrowers canceling each other. I'm like,
that's
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Is a whole, there's different physics in Star Wars.
But no, that was such a cool fight scene just right off the bat. Was it, didn't the episode start off? They were shooting down the Lambda, or is that after? That's after the scene.
No, it's before.
That's how it started. So it's just Boba, Fennec, Cara Dune, and Din. In that scene, and then they find Pershing, and then they go to the bar,
Oh, also the violence in this episode was good, but it was like
it was almost too brutal. Like don't get me wrong, I like gory stuff, I like brutal.
Interesting,
stuff.
Like which parts?
There was Din literally just like chokes the guy with the spear. I thought that was like,
and you hear the neck snap. Yeah. That's one.
The neck snap. That was the thing where it's like, I'm thinking of it from a kid's perspective watching it. Like, yeah, doesn't bother me at all.
Okay, hold on. Violence. Go two episodes back. The one where Child's calling out to Jedi. Boba with his staff going
ham on the stormtrooper. He broke
stormtrooper's helmets.
Like the plastic. Right. Yeah, the plastic helmet.
And I'm not saying violence in a bad way by any means. It was because like even with that, we're desensitized by that. It's like you're beating up a dude in a helmet like he's not. But when we clearly see like at the beginning, him shooting him directly in the head, clear visual, it's like, oh. And then even whenever the Dark Trooper was kicking Mando's ass and was just beating his helmet into the wall.
That was
like,
crazy. Yeah.
Dude,
I thought the glass was going to crack.
Yeah,
that was so crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, it was, it just had a different tone completely, but matched. That was really,
it was like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
It was like, we're moving. It's like, it was strange, but
the music helped it. But yeah, it was still there.
It was like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, though.
So
I guess that would work if really strong robots just kept pounding. Like,
so what'd you think about that R2 moment?
Oh, loved it.
It was perfect. I think that might have been the most perfect moment of Star Wars ever.
You knew 3PO.
I was hoping not 3PO, like, because we hadn't seen enough R2 in a while.
Gonna be in the X-Wing.
Yeah.
If Luke took the Falcon there, sure. But
where would he fit?
question would be is, do you think R2 recognized Grogu from the Jedi Temple?
I think
so. Okay, that's kind of what I'm
saying. There's like people speculating, not rumors, there's people just like theorizing, like R2 is the one that helped Grogu escape, maybe, so.
Oh, that's, I think you meant, does he recognize him as like Yoda? That would be crazy.
Well, no,
that's what I said to you too. I was like,
yeah.
R2 recognize probably got PTSD from
the Jedi Temple because R2 has been all around the Jedi Temple. Yeah, well, his memory was never wiped, so.
Yeah, the classic.
You know, but when he interacted and did that cute little thing, I was like, that was my first thought, was I guess he recognizes him. That would make sense.
This fucking astromech has the memory that lasts 60 years, gigabytes on top of gigabytes, but he can't even speak. What the fuck?
Well, it's intentional because apparently he was supposed to be from R2's perspective.
I understand him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Supposedly, though, the beeps, it's kind of just how like a dog kind of like whimpers. Like, that's what I read the connection is like, because they actually understand
where
it's like them.
They don't understand exactly what R2 means.
They get the idea, get the vibe
of R2.
Yeah. Because they do understand what they say when they're
when it's like on the dashboard in the X-Wing.
Yeah. When they're in the flight. Fun Star Wars fact on Hello There podcast. But what else? Is there anything else we're missing in this episode? Moff was the tits.
Yeah,
I thought Gideon. I'm just slashing myself. I love that Gideon, because we didn't really see a lot of him. We saw him a lot in small, like kind of segments.
That's what makes him great. That's the classic.
We finally got to see him be the sniveling, like mustache twirling bad guy in the room with Grogu when he's given him the classic villain over explaining the situation monologue. When he is like, just always assume I know everything. And I thought,
that was one of the best lines ever. Just assume I know everything. And it's like, huh. All right, cool. That's like an interesting place to put a villain that was like, he's just five steps ahead of you just because boom, but like you could still outsmart him.
Now, I'm curious where he's going to come into play when it comes to Thrawn. So obviously Thrawn has not been mentioned since Ahsoka, but we're seeing how brilliant of a tactician.
I think that it's going to be diverging storylines. I think that the Empire is here in the middle. I think Moff Gideon is going this direction and he's saying, okay, I'm going to resurrect the Empire or the Emperor, and we're going to bring the Empire back itself. I think Thrawn is saying, there's a power vacuum. I'm going to take over the Empire and maybe not be the new Emperor, but I'm going to, you know, try to organize everything.
I feel like they're going to come together. I feel like we're going to see these two come together because they maybe in a way of like adversaries. I don't know. But like
in the future, I don't see anything happening with Moff Gideon at most. There's going to be like a Negan moment where the new Galactic Rangers or whatever, are holding him in prison. Like how's he going to escape prison? He's half shot on the floor. He's knocked out on the floor. What's he gonna do?
Palpatine's got to come back somehow.
Yeah,
the dead got to escape somehow. You know, like he was the lead on that, and you know, I think that he's gonna eventually escape and then go make his own plan. You know, I think
he said specifically, wasn't short with his words. He already got what they wanted. They already got the samples.
Oh, I thought he was bluffing when he said that.
Oh, you
I
think? Thought
he did too. Yeah,
I mean, maybe not all
the samples he needed.
Right, but I think that he was bluffing when he's like, yeah, you could take the kid. It's fine.
Oh, obviously.
Like, he still would want to keep him. You know what I mean? But I think Thrawn is
M counts. I love it. M counts.
I know. Just say midichlorians.
They can't say the word. They can't say yo. Do not say it. Just say what's his M count, yo?
But yeah, I think that Thrawn is going to be more about kind of organizing the forces and being a tactical leader, whereas I think Gideon is more about just we need the Emperor back at all costs. I think Gideon is more about the Emperor and the dark side of the Force and you know, ruling the galaxy through that. Whereas I think Thrawn, I don't even know if Thrawn really cares about the Empire itself. I think he cares maybe about just a governing force that he can.
I've got to go back and I've got to finish Treason and then Ascendant and start Ascendancy whenever that comes out.
I'm going to ask you this. Is there any ending for Thrawn's story? How he dies?
So the last thing we know is the finale of Rebels, where
that's the last time you see him chronologically.
Last time you see him chronologically. Yeah. That's the furthest in the plot, in the timeline that we see him, because of the new Thrawn trilogy that's coming out, they're prequels that take place before he goes to the Empire. So the last time we see him in the timeline is at the end of Rebels. It's like 6 months before Rogue One. Ezra and Thrawn get launched into hyperspace by the Purrgils, and then we don't know what happens after that.
But
David has so much space to work.
Yeah,
Mr. Filoni,
the cowboy hat,
the cowboy hat himself.
Or what is his name?
John Favreau.
Wolf? No. His character
Mandalorian. Trevor Wolf.
Trevor Wolf. Yeah, Trevor
Wolf. So is his name? The character.
He loves the wolf. What's the wolf? Perfect. What's the wolf squadron in Clone Wars? What are they called? Which number? Aren't they the 3-1? No, not the 313. That's a
hard one.
What's Obi-Wan's called? The yellow one.
You're talking about Commander Cody's?
Yeah, what are they called?
You know, the numbers, of the legions, I actually don't know. That's something I've never looked up before.
Nice, because that's, I know.
I just can't remember them because there's so many of them.
Battlefront
2.
Yeah, solid. Solid, yeah.
And I got that fucking platinum, so yeah, I put the hours in that game.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Because the wolf, that one was the Aqualish got blown up flying the Jedi Star.
Wow, and you guys have a Star Wars
like,
podcast?
Yeah, I'm like brain fart. I'm like having such a mind.
Every legion of, no, I'm Plo Koon, kidding.
Plo Koon's unit was.
Oh, yeah, that's what the wolf pack is. But
oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about
what's
that.
The yellow one? Oh, my keyboard's
wolf
all pack. In here.
That's why you said Wolf Squadron and it messed me up. And like, there's like Wolf Squadron's like a different thing in Star Wars. So I was like having a brain fart. 104th was the 104th Battalion was the wolf pack.
Oh, not 313. Fucking 327 is the yellow Obi-Wans.
Aren't they? Because the 501st is Rex. And
yeah.
No, I'm making up shit. 327 is Ayala Secure is with fucking Commander Bly. He's in a Lego set. That's why I know that.
What is Commander Jeff Cody's, though?
Jeff is our resident Star Wars Lego.
Legos. Oh, we're talking about 75002, the new AAT? I don't know. It's going to kill
me. What about your Razor Crest? Did you put it in the microwave yet?
I threw it on the floor. 212. I said 313. Oh my God.
That's right.
Terrible. 212 is Cody. Yeah. Didn't they have a name for their...
Let's see. I don't think so. 212 Tag Battalion. No, they don't have a cool name. Corp. No, they don't have a cool name.
We're getting in the weeds now.
212.
I know. But yeah, Mandalorian. I mean, hey, we're not even talking about Mandalorians. You can't call clones Mandalorians. Oh, hold on. One interesting thing. So back to when Bo-Katan heard that it was a clone. What is a Mandalorian supposed to think of that? The clones, if you hear a clone's voice, they all got wiped out. Or does Bo-Katan not know that they switched to human stormtroopers and not clone troopers? Like,
I think assumes that there's probably just like old clones wandering.
Yeah, because I mean, there's still there would be some old clones, maybe not
like Rex.
That's a good point.
And,
yeah, I'm Rex always thinking that. Like, Gregor? What do they know of these?
Was Gregor the one that died, or Wolf the one that died? Gregor died.
Yeah.
Maybe she was. I mean, hey, she's
right,
she's
Gregor was the one that was the. He was the one that had his mind wiped in Clone Wars, right?
The kind of
where
goof.
Is.
Well, in Clone Wars, he was the guy that had his mind wiped when the droid, the fucking droids arc with the little frog dude, the arc no one wants to watch. That was the guy. He was like, he had his like mind, he had like amnesia and he didn't know who he was. That
pop
was
quiz. Yeah.
And then in Rebels, he's like brain was fried.
Where in the galaxy is Mandalore?
Mandalore, it's in the Outer Rim.
It's in the Outer Rim?
Yeah, it's
ooh.
Because I know Concord Dawn and Crownest are near it. That's why those are settled by.
So, you know, that changes everything. Like, because if they're in the Outer Rim, I don't expect Bo-Katan to know shit. Fucking Outer Rim scum.
I mean, I'm sure she knows who Boba Fett is, too. Like, I don't know if she recognized him as Boba Fett or just recognized him as.
She should know him as Boba Fett.
But I would assume.
I mean, I feel like she would know Boba Fett. Like, there's a club.
Why would she? Boba Fett. Nah, Boba Fett died after Clone Wars. Nah.
Yeah, and he died after all of the movies, really, except for half of...
I don't know. Maybe she's not paying attention to the news. Like, she's old.
I'm sure she was aware of who Jango Fett was.
Yeah. would have had to be, because like I think it is confirmed that, especially with all the Easter eggs that was in, or the actual scripture that was in Boba Fett's armor, that Jango Fett was a Mandalorian.
I think it's
the technicality of Boba's a clone, so he's not like, I guess he is a Mandalorian.
Says,
don't you mean
a donor when he says his father's armor?
So offensive. So offensive.
I think it's on like the south part of the galaxy map. Because I know Tatooine and Geonosis are right next to each other, and Naboo is a little bit to the right.
You guys fuck with those DK books?
I have one.
I had a couple.
I can't zoom.
It's in the Outer Rim territories, bro. It takes one second. I literally just Googled.
No, but I'm trying to find like where it is.
Oh, I wish it had that. You know, Wikipedia has it where it's on the map.
Yeah.
Imagine. I will let you know next time where it is. Yo, the description for Mandalore.
It's near Dathomir is what I was thinking. I knew it was near another planet.
Dathomir's too far.
And it's not that far away from Yavin 4. Nice. Malachor is not too far from it, which makes sense. Dantooine is like a little to the left.
We're in the Super Star Wars weeds, guys. We're back.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, it was a good chat. We only really talked about the finale, so you guys want to just give a quick, just like a 15-second review out of the season whole as a whole?
Oh, as a season?
Too much fan service? Good amount of fan service?
I think progress the story of Grogu and Din far enough while giving us, you know, fun new side stories, a good ratio of side missions to plot progression, and a solid wrap-up that doesn't have us, on the edge of our seat, but we still want more. So it's like, you know, we're it's not like it's half a story. It's a full conclusion story, but we still want more, which makes such a good finale.
Well, because we know we still have to deal with the Bo-Katan Darksaber King Queen.
But it's not as much as a cliffhanger as like, oh fuck, Moff Gideon's alive. Yeah, oh, right. He's like, gonna come back for
we had a resolution to Saber. The Jedi that's gonna get Grogu.
Yes. We know the Jedi, we know what's going on. Everyone's more or less safe right now. Obviously, you know, some things, but whatevs.
Yeah, and my first watch, I didn't realize I was like, did Bo-Katan die? And then my rewatch, I was like, oh, she's like standing right there, she's fine.
Yeah. For me, I think this is a textbook case of sequel, exceeding far expectations from the first, because I feel like this season as a whole, no competition is definitely better than the first season. But what they were able to do is have this be the launch point for this new era of Star Wars stories and have none of it feel like fan service. Like it doesn't feel like Disney's hands on it, like people want to say. It's Star Wars is back with this season. Like it's in the right hands now.
And the fact that Dave Filoni is the one doing all of these shows, at least the Rangers of the New Republic and Ahsoka, we don't know who's doing the Boba Fett series yet. So I'm sure that news will come out probably in the next week or so. I would assume Dave is involved in some way, but yeah, I think the season was great. I think that season one, looking back at season one, you can tell that that was kind of like laying the foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, like they couldn't just jump cold into what happens in season
two.
They
have a plan. This ain't no sequels, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's clearly a plan for the next 5 seasons.
They couldn't have Ahsoka and Bo-Katan and Luke Skywalker show up in season one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you had to lay the groundwork. You had to get to know.
I think that would have sucked.
I think that would have been really bad. That would have been fan service because that would have.
If they brought Luke in season one, yeah.
So I think that season one, you got to know Din, you got to meet Grogu, you got to meet Cara Dune and Greef Karga and Mithral, and so I think having that foundation that let them kind of just go balls to the wall for all of season two, and I love that. So I also do just one last thing for this episode really specifically. It obviously it was unintentional, you know what I mean? It was filmed however long ago, but I think it's very fitting that the final scene we see is Boba Fett just being a total boss, sitting on the throne like the king that he is. And I thought that was a beautiful, unintentional send-off to Jeremy Bullock.
It's like casting off his legacy. Like it's replanting his legacy.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely.
And I hope Jeremy Bullock got to see that before it aired. which who knows, but I wish he could have if he didn't. So I thought that was a beautiful send off for him. Again, probably unintentional, but I think that it was such a fitting moment, just having Boba Fett just sitting there on the throne. I thought that was so awesome at the end. So Luke Skywalker is back. Baby Yoda is gone for now, and we're not getting any more Star Wars live action series on Disney Plus until next Christmas. So it's going to be a while. So Nate and I will probably start talking about novels again in a couple episodes, but
probably
we'll see what happens. But we do have a lot of Star Wars to talk about.
I'm glad. Well, the good thing is Disney Plus now we can do those watch alongs.
Yeah. Jeff, do you want to do a commentary track with us sometime?
Of what?
Of any of the Star Wars movies?
Oh, sure.
You could do like a watch.
Rise of Skywalker. I love Rise of Skywalker.
We could do Rise of Skywalker. We haven't done the commentary for that yet, so. I think we've only done Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace. We haven't even done Revenge of the Sith, I don't think.
No, we didn't.
We should do new ones, too, because I feel like...
I can agree. Well,
like, with the watch party thing on Disney Plus, it'll be easier to do it, so. So we'll be back maybe next week. I want to try and do this at least once a week, but... Let's at least keep it bi-weekly. If so, maybe Jeff will be back. We don't know, but it'll definitely be at least me and Nate. Maybe we'll have some other people pop in and out as well. Thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening, whether you're on YouTube or on podcast services. I'm Anthony, Nate Hicks, Jeffrey Mizrahi.
Peace. You're a bold one.
Bugaboo, bugaboo. Oh, McClunky.
Got it. Catch you all later.
Hello there.